Chapter 14. Braddon and Sarah turned toward the door where Adrian Hecht had silently entered. He was a distinguished man with close-cropped silver hair, 6 feet, black silk jacket over black silk tee, pleated black pants and sandals. "You couldn't pull that ninja shit on me if I wasn't so tired." Hecht came up to them holding himself a little too carefully, aware he was a little drunk. "Adrian Hecht." Sarah took his slightly clammy hand. "Sarah Pezzini. Watch out, Hecht. She da fuzz. You're a cop? Homicide South, Manhattan. Good. That's where I'm launching Hecht Gardens. I feel better knowing I'm in your jurisdiction. Terrible, what happened to Bachman? That your case?" Sarah nodded. "You knew Bachman?" "Of course. All serious collectors knew Bachman. He was a gentleman, and extremely knowledgeable about Oriental art in general and Japanese swords in particular. Do you own any Muramasas, Mr. Hecht?" A funny look crossed the tycoon's face. Almost fear. So quick, if you blinked, you missed it. Then the old instincts took over and he was the smiling, confident captain of industry. "Nope. But I can dream, can't I?" "So you don't believe in the Muramasa curse?"
"I didn't say that. I don't know if James told you, but I'm a bit of a buff.
He said you were the one who got him into collecting?"
"Well, James was interested in all things Japanese before I met him. He already had his black belt in karate, and had been over there with the NBA All-Stars."
"What do you know of the Muramasa curse?"
"This guy just published a book in Japan, not available over here. It's called Way of the Blade, and it's a history of the great sword makers. It's 756 pages long. I had it translated."
"Well, parts of it. The author has dug up all sorts of information that nobody ever knew about Muramasa, including how he died."
"Oh honey," Braddon said, rolling his eyebrows. "Don't let him commence. It's a long story. Maybe you can tell me later."
"I could do that." Hecht dipped 2 fingers inside his silk jacket and handed her an ivory-colored business card. "Call me. I am always happy to accommodate Manhattan's finest." Braddon headed for the door.
"You'd better get hip, Jack, before you step in it.
I'm gonna head back, make sure my homies ain't pocketing the silverware.
Close the door when you're done in here.
And don't take anything, I know exactly what I got."
Braddon left. Hecht turned the full force of his considerable charm on Sarah.
"Love that bad boy. He's like a son to me. So what's happening with the Bachman case?
Are you handling Chalmers too?"
She nodded.
"We have some leads. In both cases, a valuable Japanese sword was taken. Both Muramasas."
Hecht maintained his cool, but Sarah could sense his unease through her wrist, where the witchblade had again assumed the shape of a bracelet.
"Let's head back to the party, Mr. Hecht, or we'll end up on page 6 together."
Hecht grinned, held the door for her.
"Please call me Adrian."
"Okay. Out here, you're Adrian.
In the city, Mr. Hecht."
Most of the crowd had moved out onto the broad patio. A half dozen sleek young men and women splashed in the freeform pool while liveried bartenders dispensed drinks from rolling bars. Sarah spotted Copkind talking to an older guy with a pasteover, in a Ralph Lauren that was too young for him. She walked up to them and took David's hand.
"Oh, there you are.
Sarah, Bob Hotchkiss."
"Bob, Sarah Pezzini.
Pleased to meet you," the businessman said, extending his hand.
"Likewise," Sarah said, shaking, cards spinning behind her eyes, stopping next to the name Robert Hotchkiss, which she'd found in Bachman's Rolodex.
"A sword collector? What were the chances of 3 of the city's top sword collectors all gathering at the same spot, a day after 2 of their number had their heads lopped off?"
"Coincidence turned to dust beneath the weight of circumstance.
Mr. Hotchkiss, I'm investigating the Bachman homicide.
You knew him, didn't you?"
Hotchkiss turned white.
"I don't collect Oriental art."
"You are the Robert Hotchkiss whose name I found in Bachman's Rolodex, aren't you?"
David looked ill at ease. She was embarrassing him.
Too bad.
This was a break and she intended to pursue it.
"Yes, well my wife, my soon-to-be ex-wife, you might as well know, was quite a collector. She has a black belt in spending. She may have bought and sold some things through Bachman.
You are aware that he was killed 2 nights ago.
I heard.
A terrible tragedy."
Copkind tugged at her hand.
"Sarah, this is a party."
She ignored him.
"Someone phoned in an anonymous tip that he'd been killed.
You know anything about that?"
Hotchkiss turned red.
If he could turn blue, he could rent himself out at patriotic events.
"No, I do not. Now if you'll excuse me, I see someone I have to talk to."
He stalked off.
"Sarah, I brought you here as my guest. You can't go around questioning these people as if this were a crime scene. For one thing, there are a half dozen people here who could ruin your career with the snap of their fingers. Thanks for the advice, David. But I know what I'm doing. Didn't you invite me out here under the pretext of meeting the city's top collectors? Copkind nodded ruefully. Yeah, I did. I got no cause to complain. Sarah graced him with a smile. That's what I want to hear? Come on, let's get some food before it's all gone. Copkind followed her inside to the buffet table. It's never all gone. Sarah suddenly realized she was famished. She loaded a plate with bacon-wrapped scallops, Swedish meatballs, chilled shrimp, and carrot and celery sticks. She and David found an unoccupied table by the pool and dined in the warm night air while the sound system quietly pumped Stain alive. She was grateful for the respite. Not only Hotchkiss, but James Bratton and Adrian Hecht were among Bachman's customers. Who among them knew Bachman well enough to know when he acquired the sword? Sarah made a mental note to dig into Bachman. Later, they went for a walk, hand in hand, along the trail that skirted the upper level of the dunes. The wind sighed in the reeds, bringing with it the scent of sea. There were occasional pine bridges over rivulets, and they could see lights from the Jersey shore in the distance. It was 10:30 by the time David asked for his car to be brought around. They were on the expressway before Sarah finally asked, "How do you know Hotchkiss?" "I polished one of his swords a couple of months ago. A Muramasa." She shot him a glance. "David, did it ever occur to you that that might be one of the missing swords?" Copkind hung fire for a second, his lips slightly parted like a schoolboy surprised in reverie. No, not really," he said. "I don't suppose you could identify it?" "Of course I can. Each sword is unique. I made drawings." "Drawings?" "It's called Oshikata. I draw all the swords I polish. It helps me to visualize and understand them before I start polishing. I put the drawing up on my website, swordpolish.com. That was my one and only Muramasa. I was scared to death I was going to screw it up. They're virtually priceless. Fortunately, it's a very togishi-friendly blade. It couldn't have been easier to work with. You talk as if the blade has a mind of its own. It does. It cut me. Seriously, the Japanese believe each sword has its own spirit or kami. Being a Christian, I don't really buy into that, but I have definitely noticed that some swords are friendlier than others. What? No kidding, I can go for months without a single cut, and then I'll start on a new sword and it will cut me 5 or 6 times before I get done with it. It's unreal. I mean, statistically it just doesn't add up that there isn't something going on there. Sarah was about to say something else, but her arm tingled, ever so slightly. She wrapped her hand around the witchblade, a silver strand around her wrist.